Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Judith, who I think this time really is here. Are you there, Judith?
I'm here.
Well done.
We did.
Way to persevere.
I know, three times.
It was a bit of a mystery, but we figured it out and we found you in the queue and here you are. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
So, starting the Bridgewalk campaign and hearing from folks about what they're up to and their ideas for fundraising and just all those sorts of things, we were so inspired by what you sent in and thought it would be fun for the rest of Sangha to get to hear it as well. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how the whole thing unfolded.
Well, participating in the Africa Project fundraiser is something I'd always wanted to do, but I would immediately get bogged down by not being able to think of something
other than
yard sale, which seemed like more energy than I had.
Yeah, a ton of work for possibly not a huge return.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was taking the email class, the most previous email class, and at the end of it, there was an assignment to pick a fitness, nutrition or fitness goal to continue for the next 120 days, which coincidentally turned out to be the same period for people to raise money for the fundraiser.
Right.
And just because it was handed to me like that as part of the email class assignment, I thought, well, I'll just ask for sponsors for my fitness goal, which was to take four walks a week of whatever length.
Love it.
So I knew I'd always be able to do it, no matter how much I have severe energy fluctuations and whatever. I felt like I could still do a short walk.
Yeah, you know, and just a quick pause on that one, because that's such an important point, that it takes it right out of conditioning's ability to make it into a contest.
Totally. Took it totally out. I was so pleased that, well, life dropped this in, obviously, because it made it doable.
Yeah.
So
I think that 120 days, of course, was a brainstorm of Sherry and Ashwani perfectly to pair the two things of supporting all of us. And as you say, we were ending that email class and people were really lit up with, you know, caring for the body and wanting to really do whatever they can do to support it. And what do we all know? Well, an email class ends and then conditioning comes in, right? To just take all that great energy and talk us out of what we really want to do. So I think that's where that brainstorm came in of, wow, you know, we're heading into the Bridgewalk season. How about we pair those two things?
Well,
how about we take
idea.
Isn't
because
it?
Because I just had it handed to me as an opportunity.
Yeah.
I didn't have to come up with it. It just happened.
Right.
And so then I thought, okay, how am I going to ask people for money? And I know I had one friend I knew for sure would immediately give me the total amount, which was $1 per walk added up to my age. $68. So I also had access to a couple of email groups that I used for other purposes. And I thought, I'll just invite everyone on that list to contribute if they want to.
Yeah.
And there was just no good reason not to do that, you know.
People
could say no if they want. Or they could
just
not respond. It would be very easy for them.
Yeah.
And
it's not like you were knocking on their door.
Amazing number of people responded with great enthusiasm.
Wow.
Yeah, one person even donated double the highest amount that I suggested.
Wow.
And they continue to, and a couple of people just wanted to support me but didn't have the money, and I said, people who don't donate money can provide just as much support, and it means just as much, if not more, to me
truly.
Than the money. And so
truly.
Once a week I send them all a report on how I'm doing.
Wow.
I haven't missed you know, 1 month's worth of walks in the whole time.
Wow.
And I always get several responses from people just urging me on. And
mm-hmm.
one couple is buying me a pedometer.
I love
so
it.
So that I can count my steps because
excellent.
I don't have the high-tech version, you know.
Yeah.
So they use it, and they're going to give me one.
And you want to have your steps contribute to that 52 million, so
I
yeah.
I do. I don't have a smartphone or any of that stuff, so.
Yeah. Well,
I
and
can estimate, even though it's
exactly.
near the end, I can estimate what my steps have been over the 120 days. And continue.
And I hope you will. Yeah, because once you get that pedometer, all you have to do is walk that route again, and then you can just multiply, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't you project, Judith, that for the people who are, I love to use the word invited. You invited people on that email list to
mm-hmm.
contribute if they want to. And then you're sending out that report to tell people, you know, how it's going and all of that. Don't you project that for them it's just as exciting. It's like they get to participate through your participation, through your invitation.
I totally feel like they are responding that way, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I also told them a little bit about the Cantalamba and on the project
mm-hmm.
there and
mm-hmm.
the clean water and leading up to other things and sent them all a link. And I don't know how many of them went and looked at it, but I'm sure some of them did.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's such a good cause.
It is a good cause. And, you know, there's so many good causes out there, and it's not everyone who has a direct connection to one. You know, we all want to think, gosh, I'm sure that's a good organization, but you don't always know. I mean, you don't know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us who are involved in Sangha, we have such a very direct link. I mean, these folks are our family in Cantalamba. You know, we know exactly what's going on and,
yeah.
and how it's happening and all of that. And so I project that's a piece of, so you come along and you invite people who know you and, you know, we would guess trust you and know your integrity and that sort of thing. And it gives them a way to feel really good about participating in something that they can really know is good work because
yeah.
it's coming through you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends, the one who donated the double amount, lives down where I used to live near the monastery.
Mm.
And she knew something about Sherry. And
mm-hmm.
sent a message to one of her email lists praising Sherry's integrity and how mm-hmm. this project was definitely a hand up, not a handout,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how much she, you know, admired everything that you do at the monastery. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think I got anybody from her list, but it just sure made me feel good to read that.
Yeah, exactly. And all those seeds that get planted all the way along the way.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, really planting seeds.
Yeah, and one of the things I really appreciate about both your talking tonight about it and when I first read it was that thing of, you know, I'd always wanted to participate in some way, but I'd been, you know, talked out of it. And it's so common, you know, that's kind of how it is for each of us, that
mm-hmm.
we really want to, you know, our heart wants to do this, but we so easily get talked out of it, and especially with something like this. Oh, well, people aren't, you know, hate to be asked for money, and they're going to think this, and they're going to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to just find whatever, just drop into that place, it sounds like from a combination of the email class and going into the Bridgewalk season, you just really, I project, dropped into a place where it was just coming from your heart. Come to find out people love to be asked, you know?
What a surprise.
I know. Because, you know, they're being invited into something. It's not a, can you please give this to me, you know, because you should, or good people do, or... But they're being invited into a really inspiring possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be rowing across the Atlantic or whatever some of those people did, which is awesome that they did that. And I know it inspired a lot of people by riding across the country. But that
would be
the thing, oh, I could never do that.
You know? Exactly. And, you know, as you say that, it's just so clear, isn't it, that what we do is we drop into the moment and we look at, how is life calling me to participate? Not how is everyone else doing it and what I can't do and what I should do, and but just looking, just being quiet for a minute and really looking inward and seeing, how am I being called to participate? And then when we do that, when we step into that authentically, people sense it, and they really responded to your invitation to them. And you know, you've raised quite a bit of money through it, so it's
yes,
really.
I raised almost $1,500.
Wahoo!
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, I can hardly believe it. It was
yeah.
like it happened through me, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for the whole thing, and especially for being on with us this afternoon to speak about it.
Yes, thank you for giving me another opportunity to participate.
Oh, you're most welcome, Judith. It's a win-win, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Okay.
Thank you.
Take good care.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Judith. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my great pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. That was a fun conversation.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Ridge Rock season is fun. I have
it
to admit.
It is fun. Yeah, and I love how Judith found something that worked for her. And, you know, it turned into $1,500. I mean,
I know.
That's a win-win. That is awesome.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't take too many people to do a $1,500 fundraiser to raise a heck of a lot of money.
Yes.
I mean, that's huge.
Yes. Yes.
I'm kind of looking to up my game here a little bit.
Inspired, huh?
Yeah.
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 Full friendly competition. That's good.
Exactly. A little stronger competition. Exactly. Upping the bar. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here. Oh,
the,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and this is probably on your announcements list, but we are going to be starting to remind people pretty soon here that they're going to have to really get into registration mode. I think we all do the procrastination thing, because they'll remind me to sign up, which is true, we will. We'll be very good about reminding you down to the wire, but I think September 16th is the deadline, if I'm not
okay,
mistaken.
Good.
To get a T-shirt, anyway, to get a T-shirt.
Got it. To get a T-shirt, you need to register for the Bridge Walk by September 16th.
Yeah, yeah. And the T-shirt is, once again, fabulous, and I won't give it away because we'll be revealing it, but
okay.
Beautiful. And as people know, you don't need to be coming to the walk to get a T-shirt. So
yes, I was just going to go there myself. So
yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, as you know, lots of Sangha all over the country buy a Bridge Walk T-shirt, and they've never come. And I'm sure they love their T-shirts, and they love to walk and participate. And that money goes to Cantalamba.
And then one of the most fun things is when you go to facilitate a retreat in North Carolina, 3/4 of the people there at some day during the week are wearing a Bridge Walk T-shirt.
Yeah.
And some people who we've never seen before.
Wow.
People who are, you know, new to us on retreat. And meanwhile, you can see they're tracking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying their Bridge Walk T-shirts and they're, and, you know, we end up getting a decent amount of money through the registration process. I mean, some of that money goes to pay for the event the day of, but if you're not coming and you're not eating a burrito and all those things and you register anyway, you know, that right there is a nice donation to the project. So
yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You donate money and you get a lot of smiles.
Exactly.
From those gorgeous kids.
Completely worth it, doesn't it?
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Shall I jump into announcements, or do you have anything else you wanted to start with?
No, I did not have anything else.
Okay, good. This coming Sunday, September 7th, Sherry and Ashwini will be leading a workshop in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where you can learn how to have it all.
Very compelling.
Yes, very compelling.
And we should say, in parens, the reason Sherry isn't with us tonight is that they're already in Pennsylvania, just starting the Eightfold Path retreat. So
wonderful. I suspect they're having it all there, too.
I suspect they are. Having done that retreat, we know it's definitely, yeah.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Great. And our next at-home workshop is September 13th with the theme Exploring the Spirit of Play. And if you haven't registered as part of the year-long retreat or signed up a la carte, you can do so right now at the website.
Perfect timing. Spirit of Play with the Bridge Walk.
Yes. Oh, that is good.
Yep.
Yep. And that website is schedule.livingcompassion.org. It has lots of information on these and all our events and a lot of upcoming ones also.
Excellent.
To make guest show, that means to put your hands together to indicate your desire to talk with Jen tonight. Press *6 and then 1, and that will put you in the queue. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Shall we get started, Jen?
Let's do it.
Okay.
It's my turn. You guys stay in the first.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Can you hear me okay? I'm outside walking around.
I can. I can hear you great.
Excellent. So I wanted to kind of check in about, so a couple of months ago, probably after the retreat, I was at the relationship retreat, and one of the commitments that I made on my, somewhere around that time was my work schedule. I changed it to so that I could participate in the radio show on Tuesdays, whether calling in or whatever. And that just raised such an internal firestorm that, I mean, I couldn't, there was nights that it had me awake and in a panic and just all sorts of messages and sensations and stories. And it was really interesting to see, to just kind of watch that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the story in the beginning was how selfish of you, because obviously since I'm committing to this, I would get on.
Did we lose you, Laura?
Laura? Looks she's still there.
Does it? Yeah, it doesn't sound. Oh, there she is.
Laura? Laura?
Hello? Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty there, and it went in my car.
Okay, we can hear you now.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I'm not sure where I got left off.
So you were saying that there was a firestorm, and you were about to tell us, I think, what the, in particular, the conversation was.
So it was basically telling me that I was going to be, you know, I mean, how selfish of me that I would do all of this, because I would get on every time and I would steal time from people, and the whole story around selfishness. And it had me somewhat believing it. And so part of me was just really terrified that I would get on. So this went on, and I got on the first time, and I feel like I just kind of hung in there with this whole thing. I got on the first time, and then the second time I didn't get on, and the third time I didn't get on, and then the fourth time I actually didn't get on. And so it blew that story out of the water, and which was kind of fun to see. And so what I got to really see with this whole practice was just that how conditioning wants, the whole thing that everyone talks about every week, like everything it says is just such a complete lie.
Completely.
And it's really, I rearranged my clients and my schedule, and so I now have Tuesdays, and it feels really fun to push through to the other side.
Yeah. Truly.
And feel the freedom from it. It's just like, that I just didn't listen to it, and I just kept pursuing even though it felt awful in the middle of it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just, it felt like it was real an experience of the awfulness doesn't mean anything. And so often the stories are, well, if it doesn't feel good, it must not be the right decision.
Exactly. It's so incredibly powerful, isn't it, to disconnect the, basically the sensations from the meaning. So you make a decision, and we can guess. I mean, you know, come on. You decide to move your clients around. It's as if you've decided to, you know, sell your child to whatever. And, you know, I mean, it goes crazy. And then, but you have the willingness to just stay there and to just be still with it and just let it be, let it do its thing, you know, give it, you know, give you your its worst. And in that process, what you see is there's nothing to it. There's nothing real behind it. That all it's doing is coming at you, and we can guess that strongly because this is around practice and you're making a commitment to practice.
Yeah.
So it comes at you with that, and you just continue on. And then the more we do that, the next time it comes around, it's much less believable that those sensations actually do mean, oh, God, you've done something terribly wrong and you have to make a different choice and et cetera, et cetera. And as you say, there's a tremendous amount of freedom that comes with that.
Yeah.
So, you're breaking up again.
Are you there?
Now we can hear you. First thing I heard was, are you there?
Are you there? That old commercial. So with the fundraiser, that same energy is there in terms of, I've got pedometers for our kids and myself, and we all want to contribute, and the kids are super excited about it. And And then there's the story around the whole thing who you guys were interviewing this earlier was, I can't ask people for money. Like, I don't know how to, but I wrote the email. So I haven't sent it, I've written it.
Good for you.
And there, as I was typing it, and I didn't fill in the to who yet, right? But as I was going through my contact list, just a lot of panic and fear coming up around, like, you have no right to ask people for this, so I'm just kind of sitting with that. Because I was asking people for support in whatever way they can and want to contribute, whether that's sending me well wishes, showing up themselves, walking themselves financially in whatever way. So it feels really from the heart, like you guys were talking about. And there's just that other thing around, like, conditioning. I'll say, well, you can ask this person, but you can't ask that person. And you can't, it's like putting people in categories.
And do you have a sense of what? Because this person will think this of you, and that person will, that sort of a thing?
Yeah, and I haven't pushed forward to kind of like, I'm not quite, it's just like they'll, I don't even have a they'll think what. I just have the, there's just sensations around it. And so I've been, I haven't really gone, this just happened last night, so I haven't gone past that.
Okay, got it, yeah, so that's neat, because there are some parallels, it sounds like, in the process of, so, you know, I'm going to call in, oh, well, you're selfish and you're going to take time from other people and, you know, I can't remember if you said what are people going to think, but it sounds like that was sort of in there somewhere. And then, you know, oh, with this one, well, you can't ask people for money. I mean, you know, so there's kind of a parallel there. And then what's fun about it is it sounds like what you're saying is you're using the practice success you had with the first one, with the radio show process, applying it here. So, so I've kicked up something again. You know, I've stirred up another hornet's nest here. Let me apply that same, just sit still with it and see what clarity comes through from this before I, you know, buy into any of the meaning that conditioning has around it.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel like no matter what, it's a success because I've done more this time than I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, we're already registered. We're coming. We've already got our plan. So now
Excellent.
It's just
good
the
for you.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's so good. It reminds me of, you know, Judith's thing of, you know, I'm going to take X number of walks a week. Instead of making it like, okay, I'm going to, you know, all these like I don't know what hard, undoable sorts of things, that bars that conditioning would set for us. Instead, we keep it in the realm of, it's an adventure. You know, the whole reason we're doing any of this is to see how suffering is caused. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
So we want to always keep our eye on that ball. And as you say, it's already a success no matter what else happens, because that's what you're doing in the process of all of it.
Yeah, so, and that feels good. And then saying it out loud to Sangha, it just feels like, well, okay. So in that, there's just a huge kind of relief of, you know, kind of throw it at me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, or bring it on,
exactly.
You know, and me up in the game, kind of like, go ahead.
Exactly. Go ahead. Because I've got a whole team behind me of people who are doing the same thing. So you just bring out your worst.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the last thing that occurs to me, Laura, is that for me, so often, if I receive something from someone asking for, you know, a donation or support or whatever, I'm always so inspired, you know, by what they're doing, by how the fact that they care enough to do it, you know, and depending on what's going on for me, I'll support it in whatever way I can. But I think just like Judith was talking about in the Good News Update, it's such an invitation to people, such an invitation into life. You know?
I loved her word, the invitation versus asking.
Me too.
It just has a different energy to it.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. It's a nice word to use, and I'm going to steal that when I write my letter.
I think I might go and edit mine.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
for
thank you. Thanks for checking
all that
in.
Practice does. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see you on the 4th.
Yes, you will. Until next time.
All right. Very good. Thanks,
Laura.
Good night,
Michael. Good night, Jen.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey, hi. Sherry.
Hi, you guys. I'm really loving all of this talk around participation.
Mm-hmm.
And I, last week I had called into the show and, you know, was listening, and it felt to me like that word popped out, like, you know, as if it was in neon. You know, I don't know. It felt like it was said over and over. It was so interesting to watch all the different stuff that came up around that.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly tonight, I love that. I love that it sort of started out that way with the Good News Update. And because one of the things that I was noticing, I feel like I was late to the party to make my walking commitment. But I noticed something as soon as I wrote in with that commitment and sort of like jumped in participating, that like every time I walk now, I feel like I'm with Sangha.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's
so
cool.
It's
so fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And someone said, I'm not sure the exact quote, but something to the effect of, like, if you want to feel like you belong, just participate.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Right. And so it's like I've been noticing that complete difference. So as soon as I just sent in, you know, that commitment, every time I walk, I feel like I belong. And, of course, it's now it's like, you know, this whole wider sangha all the way to Cantalomba, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
that.
Picture those guys over there reading their words, you know, as we're taking our steps.
I know.
I'm right with you, and it's so, I just think it's no coincidence that that's a huge place that conditioned mind resists, is I don't want to, it's too hard, I don't feel like it, I don't belong, what difference am I going to make? You know, just all that stuff, all that conversation around why I'm not going to participate, either because I don't feel like it or whatever it is. And then, of course, if we buy into that, then it really is believable that we don't belong, because there's that separation. You know, they're all doing this and I'm not.
Yeah.
Even though, of course, even in that, it's not true. That entire time, we still belong. But it's really easy for conditioning to talk us into the story that we don't belong when we're going along with it and not participating. But once we step in and participate, it's so much harder to maintain that story that we don't belong.
Oh, that's so beautifully said and so true. And it does. You know, I mean, I watched for myself the way it's like, oh, you know, downloading the app. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a big deal. Like, it wasn't even necessary. Like, you know what I mean? The step counting. And then it's like, of course, the, you know, oh, every year we ask everyone for money. Got to do that. And it's like, stories are so dumb. You know, it's like, what I was really happy about is, so I sent in my commitment, and then it was really interesting. So last week when I was sitting, you know, listening to the call and, you know, wanting to get on, out of nowhere, really literally, you know, in the middle of somebody talking, life just dropped in this fundraising idea. And it was so cool. Like, because I was like, you know, like I said, I was like hearing the word participation over and over and really wanting, I think there was someplace in me too, like really wanting a great idea about how to, you know, not the just usual way that I usually fundraise for it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're saying a new idea dropped in.
Yeah. Like just really literally, like it was so obvious that it was not me.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun, huh?
Yeah. It was really cool, and I just it made that feeling of belonging feel like even bigger.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? And you know, one of the really fun things I've been looking at with it, so with the steps thing, is that I don't quite know if I can put words to it. I was just recording about it the other day, that, you know, so there can be this idea of like, now I'm going to go exercise, you know, and that's like something. I have to stop everything else I'm doing. I'm going to go exercise. And one of the things I've seen with the steps that makes it so much fun is that actually I can, quote, exercise throughout my entire day. And that getting those steps, and as you say, walking with Sangha is everything. So, you know, I'm walking along and realize there's something that needs to be done down at the such and such. And watch conditioned mind go revisit, oh, I don't feel like walking all the way down there, you know, and realize, wait a minute, I'll get a bunch more steps if I go do that. You know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're in service to life within the context of getting these, whatever it is, 10,000 steps a day. Because I don't care how I get those 10,000 steps. I could get those 10,000 steps taking the trash out. I could get those 10,000 steps taking the dog for a walk. I could get those 10,000 steps helping, you know, an elderly person go get their groceries. I could, you know, whatever it is, it becomes just a huge game.
Yes. Yeah, and I was noticing that too, like in a similar vein, like there was something, it's like, I think I had to go like get something at the grocery store, and I noticed that, like, I don't wanna. And then I was like, no, it's going to get steps. And then when I was walking, like feeling like I'm not just going to get groceries for our family dinner. It's something much bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so just really, I guess, you know, I guess I'm wanting to put in plug, because I was, you know, that embarrassed, like, oh, I haven't done that yet, and maybe there are other people out there too who haven't, you know, but it's like, it was such an immediate shift into joining, you know, feeling like I belong.
Yeah, and such a fun way. I hope people aren't thinking, oh, well, I can't walk that many steps. Well, you walk whatever you walk. I think people will be surprised when they start tracking it. You know, you walk a lot just in living your life.
So
download it and just walk and just see what you get. I mean, you don't even have to have some big goal. Just start tracking it, because as you say, the participation is the huge piece of it.
Yeah. So good. Well, thanks so much. I'm glad to just jump in and participate this way too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry. That was really fun.
Yeah, well, good to talk to you guys. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, good. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air. And, Jen, I just had another fundraising idea drop in for myself with all of these conversations, so that's great.
Darren, or is it a secret until you get ready to do it?
Say that again. You were breaking up just a little
bit. Oh, sorry. I said, is it? Can you tell us, or do you need to kind of work out the idea first before you?
No,
make
it's
it
there's a fun swimming hole, actually, on a river in Felton, California.
Really?
Where Sherry's done some workshops, and we discovered it. There's a website that talks about outdoor Bay Area adventures. And as you know, with the Internet, nothing is really secret or hidden anymore.
No, it really
is. It's not. Anyway, yeah. It's a beautiful place. It's in Henry Cow Park, which is famous for its redwoods. And
wow.
It's a gorgeous trail in the woods, and you hike down, and there's a swimming hole with a rope swing, and even
wow.
in the drought, there's water there. And we've gone there as a family 2 summers in a row, and this past time we invited a bunch of friends, and then next year for the 3rd annual, you know, join us and make a donation or don't and come have fun. And
wow.
Here's a little link to the project, and we'd love to see you, you know. As you said, you know, it's just the invitation.
Just the invitation. And then
just the invitation.
And it's so fun, isn't it? Because then you go out on this fabulous family day, and
yeah.
like Sherry was saying, you're out. It's not just getting groceries at the grocery store, but it has this whole other thing to it that just, you know, it's just so fun. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nature. It's beautiful. It's outdoors. You get some steps because you're hiking.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm going to look that up.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll invite you next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, practice puts us in a place of good energy, of being a
yeah,
social
exactly.
relief. People
exactly.
enjoy being around us because we don't
exactly.
have needs. We're not trying to get our conditioned needs met through them.
Yep. Yep. You know, that is such a good point, Michael. And actually, it speaks to something that Judith touched on, and actually everyone really tonight. I thought of it, too, with Laura, that when we're let's say we ask someone, we invite someone to participate in our fundraiser.
Yes.
That's it. That's all it is. It's an
exactly.
invitation. And because we're practicing, there's never going to be any like, well, they didn't give anything.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I can't believe. So. And I project people can really, really feel that.
Yes.
So there's nothing attached to it. It's just simply an open-hearted invitation with no conditioned expectations, no needs attached to it, no anything, just an invitation.
Yeah, that's it exactly. There's no repercussions. It's not going
yep.
to mean anything if you come
yep.
or you don't come or you give money
yep.
or you don't give money.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And, you know, boy, you just really hit on it, Michael, I think, because I think it's so rare that we as humans are in an unconditional relationship with one another.
Yes.
And I think that's what that social relief thing is.
Yes.
Is being around someone who's in an unconditional relationship with you. They don't need anything from you. They're simply completely available to be with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you're getting me excited.
Yeah. Me too. It explains a lot, you know. And then, of course, the best part is we, the person practicing, who's, you know, hopefully being that out in the world, being in that unconditional place, that's what we receive also.
Yeah.
You know, we receive that being with whoever we're with without that conditioned filter, and we actually get to receive
yeah.
being in the presence of other beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
Wonderful.
It's good.
Exciting.
Yep. Exciting. It is.
Yes.
Thanks for saying that. Thanks
oh.
for participating.
Thank you for the invitation. And speaking of invitations, why don't we take a pause here and hear from our Zen awareness coaches?
Sounds good.
Okay, talk to you soon.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the Services section, click on the Little Monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen. Hello, Michael. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hi.
Well, hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And I actually wanted to just take a moment before I talk about what I want to talk about, just to say that, as you know, Jen, I was on the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in North Carolina not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say that, you know, I did a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat many years ago, and
mm-hmm.
I would not have had the idea to do it again, even though it's recommended to do it, you know, if you haven't done it in a long time, to do it again. But
mm-hmm.
but despite that, I don't think I would have just sort of jumped at that if it hadn't been for a few things like it being in North Carolina, where I live, and the fact that my coach suggested it. And then just kind of a few other things, just all sort of pointed to going on that retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was one of the most profound experiences I've ever had in my life. It was just so extraordinary. So I just wanted to say that, you know, just to put that out there kind of to the Sangha, to anyone listening.
I could not agree with you more. And I absolutely can see, you know, for folks, especially, you know, for a lot of people, you're making really hard choices. I mean, most people can't go on retreat, you know, a number of times a year. So... Mm-hmm. You know, and Sherry and Ashwini put out fabulous new retreats just about every year, and so there's some, you know, picking and choosing to do. And I will second exactly what you're saying, which is that the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which is, you know, kind of the foundation of the work, really, that Sherry has taught forever, is a unique retreat. It really is. It's incredibly powerful. And it's very particular in what it's what it offers. So I think that is right, that, you know, doing it every so however long, you know, however often you can pull it off is a really good thing to do. Yep.
Yeah, I there were a few things that I just experienced. One was, we went over some of the, you know, the basic building blocks of the practice. But I'm telling you, I experienced in new ways every one of them at deeper levels, and it was just blowing me away. And it was just so profound again and again and again. That kind of thing kept happening. And I also felt like at this point, that retreat has just been fine-tuned to fine art. The curriculum is so, I mean, you could speak to this so much more than I could, but that was my experience, like, oh my gosh, I don't know of anything where the curriculum is that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is just so extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very well-tuned instrument, yeah.
And then the last thing about it, and that was this, the facilitation was so incredibly skillful and compassionate. That also just awed me and took me to places that I wouldn't have had any way of getting on my own. It was it really was. I had something else to bring up. We'll see if they ever get to there because I keep going on about this, but. Another aspect of it for me was that, so there was the in quotes workshop, you know, that we did together as a group, all the times we would get together. This is the first retreat that I've been on since I've had a well established recording and listening practice. So for me, another part of it was the workshop kept going on when I was back in my room or You know, I mean, I just, oh, the, all kinds of more insights just kept coming in. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, there was, I said this during the retreat, but there was just one point. I was in my room, you know, at night after dark and whatever, and I was just, I was doing a lot of recording and stuff, there was just this point where I just saw that this whole battering cycle that I'd been looking at was not me. And it's gone and that it hasn't tried to reestablish itself. with some level of success. But but for a moment there, it was as if it the last building block that I had never seen before was taken out, and the whole thing just disintegrated at my feet. And I was just looking at the rubble of that battering cycle. And and that wasn't even the end, because then, you know, I won't talk about the particulars of the retreat, but there was just another experience that was so profound about that whole thing. If you've got something, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I've seen since then has been that this experience of that's not me. I've been having that experience a lot with very different content since that retreat. Things that have seemingly nothing to do with the particular content that I was primarily looking at that retreat. I'll just be going along, in whatever process is going on, and I'll hear something in my head, and I'll really hear it for the first time from a disidentified place. And I'll go, oh, that's not me. I've heard that, I've felt that, I've thought that, who knows how many times, thousands of times, and it has never before occurred to me that that's not me.
Yeah. And Jeff, not to put you on the spot, but in case you can think of an example, I think it would be so useful for folks who, because, you know, we say that all the time. We say, we really got to get it. That's not me. But what I think you're pointing at is, it's one thing to know that intellectually. It's not me. Conditioning's not me. But then to have an experience of it is a whole different creature. So can you think of an example of, so you're going along, and what might go through your head that you suddenly realize, oh, my gosh, that's not me?
Well,
you could even make one up. It doesn't even have to be a real one.
Right. No, something that I'm looking at right now is this whole thing about the list and what has to get done. I've been starting, not every time. Sometimes I believe it's me, but there've been a lot of times where I'll see that thought of the person, in quotes, who is really concerned about that list and getting things done, and what and there's just this voice in my head, and I'll experience it as just a voice in my head, saying whatever it's saying, and there are different parts to it. So one example of a thing that that happens is, I actually talked about this some time ago on open air. But I'm seeing it, more at a kind of clearer level. That there's this deadline that gets set. The other night I saw it so much more clearly than I had seen it before. Where I want to get these things done by this time. And that just it just went through, and I'm just like, wait a minute, I didn't say that.
great!
How does that happen? It really was like, wait a minute, how does it know to say that? How does it make that these things, are going to get done, and then a little while later, when that deadline wasn't met, it revised the deadline, and it was like, and I saw that too, and I was like, wow. and it just happens so fast.
Yeah.
You know?
So
there's
and
that.
And then seeing that opened a whole different possibility, right? I mean, if that really, if we really get it, that's a voice in my head. I mean, that completely turns things around. I no longer am now beholden to this to-do list that's creating all this illusory suffering. I can actually start looking at my life. How do I want to spend my day? What's important to me? Not the voice in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No.
Do you have more on that?
Nope.
Yeah, I won't say for sure that I'm at that point yet, because it's really, you know, just started to be this clear just in the last couple of days.
Just one quick pause on that. In my experience, it's not even we need to get to that place. It's a natural outgrowth of it. Because that process that you're doing of paying attention, and in paying attention, it's completely obvious that it's not you. And if you keep paying attention and you keep seeing that it's not you, you're no longer going to make those choices. Not because you should or you shouldn't, or it's right or it's wrong, or it's good or it's bad, but just because, well, it's not what I want to do, so why would I do that? It's just kind of the natural progression of how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's actually not that I need to do anything about this. You know, now that I've seen that, oh well, that's the wrong thing to do to get identified with that, and now, you know, what can I do to make sure that I am usually, you know, it's what I hear you saying is just as you know the practice, doing the practice of paying attention. I will naturally find myself, you know, doing something different one day.
Precisely.
Well, it's funny because this is what I was going to bring up tonight. When I ended up talking about there's nothing wrong with you instead, which is fantastic. But it's funny how the conversation has circled back around to this whole, stuff around, trying to get things done and the back and forth between that. There's a person inside who is really focused on practice and, you know, really has managed to gradually build up lots and lots of things about practice that are part of the regular routine and every day. All these things happen. And then, so there's the other person who's like, okay, but what about these things that aren't getting done now because you're devoting so much time to practice? And just kind of watching that whole, duality and that whole thing around, that dynamic that is happening.
And, to me, a little bit of the conversation we had around how people are doing all this 10,000 steps or whatever the steps are for each person, that same thing can be applied in the sense of, okay, so if practice is what I want to do, if what I want is to wake up and end suffering, if that's kind of the ultimate overarching thing, if the 10,000 steps is the thing, I just want to get 10,000 steps. I don't care how that happens. As I was saying, take out the trash or, do this or do that, doesn't matter. So if what I want to do is end suffering, then I can do that in everything. So it's not like I'm going to practice and then I'm going to get this stuff done over here. I'm going to do the laundry and I'm going to, go get a degree and such or, whatever it would be. If what we want to do is wake up and end suffering, to me, it really shifts that whole conversation around how, quote, I'm spending, quote, my, quote, time. Everything has to be in quotes. Because it's all in the context of waking up and ending suffering.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I just offer that as a sort of a koan, a place to look in terms of, it's all one thing. It's not separate.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah, to watch that whole duality, being set up.
Mm-hmm.
And, to question that and to look at it how, just that all of it's practice.
All of it's practice. And I think part of why that can be very freeing is it really helps to distill down what really is important to me and why. You know, and what we see is how is way more important than what. So what I begin to do in my life is I make, again, not because I should or, I have to try to, but it just naturally becomes what I do. I start to set my priorities around how, not what.
Yeah, so I set my priorities around going about whatever I'm doing compassionately and kindly and with awareness and paying attention and supporting myself and all of those sorts of things.
And conditioning is less likely to be able to talk me into making decisions that are basically going to sabotage my peace and well-being. Well, you've got to get this done, and you've got to get that done. And if I really have my eye on how, then I'm going to question, why? Why do I have to get that done right now? Do I really? You know, just stuff like that. It just really starts to break up the conditioning's ability to talk us into crazy stuff, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
great.
Anyway, it's a fun topic. I hope you'll report back.
Oh, okay. Great. Will do. Jen, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Take good
thank
care.
Thank you, Michael. Will
you're
do.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. You're listening to Open Air. That was a fun conversation, Jen.
I know. I was just thinking tonight, everyone's doing all these spontaneous testimonials for these various practice things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Very fun.
It is great. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor.
Hi, Jen.
What do you know?
I'm really excited. I'm taking some deep breaths. And,
good.
That was just such a great conversation. I could just say all of that. I also was at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and it was just the most powerful retreat for me.
Yeah, we're having a bit of a North Carolina reunion here tonight.
A Southern reunion, anyway.
Or Southern, yeah, that's right. The retreat was in North Carolina. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was fabulous. I don't know. I was just so willing and ready and open for it. I think the first night I went back, my first recording, which I've listened to over and over, was, I really do know what I want here, and that is that I really want to practice to be able to live my life in every moment, that I really don't want to live in those stories. And that was the very first night of the retreat. You know, I went back to my room, and that's what came out, and it was like, well, yeah.
Wow. I mean, but that's just like goosebumps everywhere, isn't it? Because we
it
could
is.
All say that, you know, oh, yeah, I just want to live in the moment. But when you when you have a moment like that where you get it, what I want, what I truly want is to live my life, live it in every moment and not believe those stories. And you're on retreat and you're giving it everything you've got towards that. I mean, that is an unbelievably inspiring place.
So powerful. With 7 days ahead of me at that point, it was like, so it proceeded from there to be just more than profound. And so, but I wanted to report something about my day today. It's also on that level of the steps. And so I've been doing steps, and I got my pedometer at the beginning of August, and it's been wonderful. It has brought me to being with I'm very inspired by the reading and everything. And so, but I had this new add-on. Last night I wrote my email in to the Wildy Walk, and in it I put that I was adding on something. I have two or three days a week when I'm at work inside, and I just, my steps are not adding up the way I really, really want them to.
Yeah,
It's 90 steps around the room that I'm in. So I can... I'm doing a few of those, but I come home often very stagnant and stiff. Mm-hmm. So I added in, it's not steps. I tried to get this into steps, and I'm working on that. But I added in that I would give a dollar for every sun salutation I did. And the best I could calculate, it would be 15 or 20, you know, in classes and at home. Well, you know how many I did today? I did 10 today at work in one day, 10, which is exceptional because I usually do maybe one at the most.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
I started doing them, and they felt so good that every time I had a spare minute, I would do one. And I know 10 doesn't seem like very many, and I believe it could go much higher. But I felt so good. And I think it's going to save my body and my everything. It's a great feeling all around.
I love it, Eleanor. And you know what's funny about that? Somehow yoga must be creeping into this thing, too, because that I had a very parallel experience. So I was at North Carolina, right, for the retreat. And then I had another week of traveling, quite a big travel schedule. And same thing, you know, I never had chunks of time where I could go off and do. So what I found myself doing is every spare moment, where whatever I was doing, just, you know, as long as it was appropriate, I just rolled out my yoga mat and I just did some stretching. And it's so good, isn't it? And it doesn't take a long time. It's like 1 or 2 minutes completely changes the energy. It energizes the body. It's amazing.
And to add to that we're doing it as a group, and I'm doing it, you know, in the whole with the Sangha here and the Sangha in Africa, to add that in, it just made it, I was just smiling, you know. I was so happy. I actually ran around the store 4 laps today, and it's 95 steps if you run. But that was purely from the energy that I had going other parts. So
I love it.
My pedometer's not putting many steps on a sun salutation. I was working
Here's what dropped in for me. Here's what dropped in for me around that. What I would do is, what does it feel like that sun salutation is? You know, it's, I don't know, it feels like taking 300 steps or whatever. And then you just add that onto your thing.
Yes, that's great. Because it does correlate, definitely.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, we don't want to get bogged down in, I'm not going to give it away, what I wrote for the newsletter coming out in September, but I was so inspired. I'm so inspired by the kids reading their words. And what I'm giving it away a little bit, but what I project onto it is they don't have their eye on the 52 million number at all. They're just going for it and reading as much as they can. And the truth is, I don't think they're going to come anywhere near 52 million, but they don't know that, and they don't care, and it doesn't make any difference. They're just going for it. So, you know, we don't want to get bogged down in like, well, but did you really walk those 300 steps? I mean, come on, you can't cheat. It's like, shoot, I did this great sun salutation, and I feel fabulous. So this is how many steps I'm going to add on for that.
Yeah, I feel fabulous. And it's in honor and in awareness of the whole experience that's
going
on.
Exactly.
That just adds so much to it. That's just great.
I'm really excited.
I'm inspired by everybody else's stories, and it does feel really good to participate. I will have to say that.
yeah, me too. And thank you for saying all that, because, you know, that we all, at least I do, I know how huge that is. You know, so there you are at your desk. It's like, the voice just, well, no, not now. I mean, later, a little bit, you know, whenever. But to actually do it, and then that description, as you said, that once you do it, it feels so good, and you want to do it again, and then you want to do it again, and then because you feel so good, you run around the building. I mean, it's like, it's such a perfect description of practice. Awareness brings awareness. You know?
Exactly.
It's so good.
And joy. It's just.
And joy.
The way I want to live, no matter where I am. Gratitude comes in there big.
Yeah, and many, many thanks for picking up the phone and choosing to share it with the rest of us.
Oh, I feel very thankful that I got to share and to get on tonight. I don't have that many Tuesday nights at home, so I dashed in and called.
Excellent. Perfect.
Happy I got
perfect.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Eleanor. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. Jen, if I get any more lit up, I think I'm going to explode.
I'm having the same problem here. So what I'm doing, Michael, to have the energy is to walk, to pace as we're talking. So see,
great.
It's a win-win.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's 5 minutes to the hour. Would you like to take one more caller?
Sure. Let's try it.
Great. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Karen from North Carolina.
Well, Karen, my goodness.
My goodness, I cannot believe it. I just dialed in about a minute ago.
Oh, my.
I thought, wouldn't that be great? Because I dialed in, I rushed home from an appointment, and I got into the conversation when you and Michael were talking about a picnic and the value of the fundraising, and I dialed right in and because I wanted to say that, hello?
Yep.
Okay. And I wanted to say that I got my first donation tonight.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. I'm doing an 11-mile hike up a mountain next week.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes,
wow.
That should be a lot of steps.
That should be a lot of steps. Yeah, that'll count for many, many days.
And I bought an activity tracker finally. Conditioning had worked really hard to talk me out of it, but then I woke up and went, wait. So I'm very excited, and I just wanted to chime in with enthusiasm.
Excellent. And plus, you're from that part of the country, so we had to complete it, right?
Yes. And is there going to be a way that we tally our steps as we go along or just at the end? Or?
Yes. Thank you. We're already doing it. So really, anytime you want, we're going to have a number of places in the campaign where we announce how many steps we've gotten so far. But I've already sent my first batch in. It's to are you getting the weekly newsletters that come usually on either a Friday or a Saturday?
Yes.
That are the BridgeWalk newsletters. And I'm just looking to see if I can look at one right now so that I can get the right thing. It's that link under the Why Do You Walk section, and there's always an excerpt from someone who's written in that same email address, whywewalk@livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
You can send your steps tally in there.
Okay.
And there's someone behind the scenes tallying them all up, and at various intervals, we're going to be announcing how many steps we've got.
Oh, very fun. Very fun.
Yeah.
And ditto what everyone says about the There Is Nothing Wrong retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, we're definitely coming back to North Carolina.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and you know, one of the things I didn't get to say either to Jeff or to Eleanor is that part of what makes really any retreat, and I think especially that retreat, so powerful, is the way people participate so courageously and so generously of their own process.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think that's really...
unexpected, uncharted, beautiful places in safety and compassion and love.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just like, it's like the radio show. It's like any of Sangha, even email classes, where that people being willing to put out what's going on for them and to look at it in such a sincere, open way is a benefit to all of us. You know, it's an exponential sort of a thing when we're all practicing together, because we're each benefiting from everyone else's practice.
Yes. And if we can keep them going at the monastery, you know, I would be happy to help and assist in any way that I can with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right.
Duly
well,
noted.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Jen.
Thanks, Karen. Good night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You've been listening to Open Air. It's been my great pleasure to have Jen here with us tonight. I'm going to have a very lit-up evening, I think, Jen, after all.
I think I will, too, Michael. Go finish my steps, and yeah. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. It's been great, and I look forward to the next opportunity.
And thank you, Michael, week after week, for doing what you do. It's really huge that you're there and willing to keep that space open for all of us to join.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.